Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Okay, so it's Friday Food Club with a twist this morning. We are talking more along the lines of cocktails and Christmassy cocktails, because the theory is that surely today, and it's this weekend, it's going to be very busy in town with Christmas parties or having friends round to your house for a couple of festive drinks. So we thought, what better way to get this started with Marcus Deaves coming in from Hidden Rooms, coming in to give us a few hints and tips on how to make the best Christmassy cocktails that we can.
Good. Here I am. Morning. Morning,
Good
Marcus.
Good morning. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
So we met, we were just reminiscing actually, we met sort of the first week of our Cambridge Breakfast Show.
Which was something like the third week in August, wasn't
Yeah, that's
it?
Right. We had a few cocktails with you just before Cambridge Cocktail Weekend, that Saturday. That's my kind of blurry memory of that.
Yeah, that's right. You made a great video of us making cocktails as well. Yeah. Even my mum saw that, so she was super chuffed.
Yeah, it's always good when mums are in support of everything. And pretty busy, I guess, this coming weekend.
Yeah, it's mad. And beautifully so. We've got lots of local businesses booking in for private parties. And they tend to do that really early in the year, so we tend to know which way we're going for Christmas. But in those little spaces and gaps, then we're happy to take walk-ins or even reservations for Christmas cocktails or you know, the sorts of drinks that you can get all year round. But at Christmas, people tend to want something a little bit extra special.
Yeah. So what do you have on the menu, which is a little bit Christmassy special?
So we set a little task to our bartenders to come up with an awful lot of cocktails for Christmas that we could choose the best from. And we narrowed it down to about four or five, maybe six, there or thereabouts. But one or two of those have really sort of risen to the top and have become quite popular. That, alongside the usual sort of mulled things like mulled wine and mulled ciders, tend to be really popular at this time of year. Nice and warming.
Mm. So tell us, what makes a Christmassy cocktail? What were some of the standout ingredients?
So when you think of Christmas, you think of, I suppose, the sugar and spice and all things nice
cinnamon
kind of phrase.
Sticks, so, the nutmeg, yeah, I guess.
Exactly. So all the spicy things, all the nice warming things, the toffees and the creams and the caramels. So we've got one on our menu at the moment, which is a great way to finish off a bottle of Prosecco or sparkling wine that you might have lying around after Christmas lunch. Just a dash of brandy, some caramel and some butterscotch. And just a little dash of each, so about 10 millilitres of each. So that's 2 teaspoons of each. And pop that in the bottom of a champagne flute and then just top with whatever sparkling wine you've got left. And you've got that nice Christmas flavour, plus you've got the exciting Christmas bubbles.
That sounds fantastic. I'm going
to write this down.
Genuinely take notes on that one.
I'll leave the recipes here for you. There's an awful lot, actually. I brought in most of our recipes. So, there's going to be some fun in the studio when I've gone.
I suspect they're probably searching around. I'm not allowed to have alcohol on the premises. Not that it really normally stops us, anyway.
Send Julian to the off-licence and get some ingredients.
Very, very, very possibly nip through the cemetery once we're done. Mm.
I love that. Okay. Take us through some more.
So I thought when people ask us for mulled wine, they always ask what's in it. And I suppose a tip if you're making mulled wine at home, mulled just means warming. So there's quite a few tips and quite a few, I suppose, rules and pitfalls. If you warm your mulled wine up too much, for instance, you could end up burning off some of the alcohol. So
it gets a bit syrupy, doesn't it?
Yeah, we had one on the Mill Road. We better not say where, for reasons which will become apparent.
Oh, yes,
because it was just too sickly sweet. It had gone too far, and I don't know if there'd been, if there's some chemical effect had caused this, or whether just somebody dolloped too much glucose in the first place.
Maybe just not enough wine.
See, I think it was that, because I couldn't taste any alcohol whatsoever.
She knows.
Yeah.
That is Lucy. I mean, a top tip is to start with the syrup. If you're making a mulled wine, then get some sugar and some spices, and just a little touch of wine, and some orange juice, lime juice, and bits and pieces like that. So whatever you want, really. There's no real sort of major rules as to what to put in it, but cloves are a good thing. Lime peel and lime juice, lemon peel and lemon juice.
About lime before. I always try to add a bit of orange.
Yeah, so
it.
If you think of lime as being the sort of business end of citrus, if you like, whereas the orange is a little bit more, I suppose, sweet and flavoursome.
Yeah.
But lime just gives you that nice acidic dryness. Mixing that up with some of your favourite things like nutmeg, some good grated nutmeg and cinnamon. Get some caster sugar and just top that with just a touch of wine, enough to cover the caster sugar, and make a nice syrup to begin with. So you'd boil that part. So you'd make sure that gets nice and hot. So you've got a good thick syrup. And just boil that up for sort of 4 or 5 minutes and then add your wine on top after.
Right.
If you started to try and boil your wine, then after a while, then you might start burning the alcohol off.
Yeah.
So.
It's warming. It's not. You don't want to see any bubbles at all.
No, you don't want to see it bubbling.
That'd
Yeah, that's more like a witch's cauldron.
How do you?
So are some. That's a different thing entirely.
That's what I did the month before. Yeah. Sometimes you can get a really bad mulled wine because you've put too much clove in it. And it feels like you've just come out of the dentist or something.
Yeah, you
so
just...
So how do you know when you're, you know, just not too much?
Well, you can add, but you can't take away.
Yeah.
So, you know, trial and error. So I'd say if you're using around 200 grams of caster sugar and a couple of bottles of wine, that sort of measure, then no more than sort of 5 or 6 cloves.
Wow, that's still quite a lot.
And keeping it warm, if you've served and you still have, say, half of it left and more guests expected... Keep it on the hob, pop in a slow cooker, or just let it gently cool?
Oh, bain marie if you can. So a large saucepan full of water, and then maybe pop that in a bowl inside the saucepan full of water. So you're not applying direct heat.
Right.
Okay, just keeping it warm.
Just keeping it
Excellent
warm. That's
tip.
All you need to do. Yeah.
Okay. Mulled cider. I've noticed this past few weeks, it's very difficult to find mulled wine in the pubs. It's more mulled cider.
Yeah, I think
what's going on there?
There's just a trend, isn't there? It's
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Is it wrong? I mean, you can mull anything. You know, when I say you can mull anything, it's the flavours that you want.
Yeah.
And again, going back to Christmas flavours, cinnamon goes well with apple. If we think about, you know, a nice warming sort of winter apple pie or something. And apple is the base for, obviously, cider. And Calvados, which is the apple brandy. Mm. So they tend to go well with cinnamon and nutmeg and all the sorts of lovely things that wine go well with. So, yeah, why not warm your cider as long as you're not in presence of Julian because he doesn't like it.
I don't know. It's just tangy. I guess the reason why I don't like it is because it seems to be offered instead of as opposed to as well as. And that's kind of the objection I have, I think.
Yeah, I suppose bar space plays a part and stock and everything when you go to a pub. But, I mean, if you're doing it at home, then you could probably get two on the go, can't you? You could get the wine on the go and the cider at home.
My favourite mulled thing, there's one pub in the centre of town that does a mulled slow gin.
Yeah, lovely. Exactly.
Oh, my God, so good. Very, quite lethal.
Right. So the alcohol
no
hasn't
more than
burnt
two.
Off there.
Says a woman who knows.
So that's the same thing, is it? So you're making your syrup and then you're adding your spices and then you're adding gin to warm... Is that
so whatever spices that you might want with your gin, and remember, people like citrus with gin. Don't put cucumber in because that's wrong. Yeah, well, heating cucumber is wrong. But if you started off with some spices and some sugars, so gin and juice is a drink. You'd have gin with some juice, or you'd have gin and tonic. So it's just making that warmer. So perhaps add some juice and some of your favourite spices and then the gin on top. And again, it's trial and error. But the more flavoursome things tend to work better. When you heat things up, you tend to enhance their flavour until you get to, you know, a point where it's far too hot to even use. But if you think about, so to give you an analogy, if you had a glass of white wine and you left it on the side for half an hour, three quarters of an hour, it's getting warmer and warmer, and you can actually taste more of the flavour of that white wine. That might not be what you want from a white wine, but if you apply that logic to heating up your favourite flavours, then you're going to get some really nice flavours released, and the aroma as well when things start to warm up. So it fills the room, it's lovely. But slow gin works really well.
We might ask you in a moment or two for some, maybe a few Christmassy twists on the old classic cocktails.
Got a few of those up our sleeves.
Excellent. We'll do some Travel Player, a quick song as well. It's now 8:42. Marcus Steves is still here from Hidden Rooms. And we were kind of interested as to whether or not the kind of classic cocktails that everybody knows, if there's something that you could do to them just to make that little bit extra Christmassy.
Yeah, just to go over the... original cocktail that I mentioned a few minutes ago, just in case anyone missed it. It's based on the classic champagne cocktail, which would ordinarily be a sugar cube, some bitters of your choice. Mm. So Angostura aromatic bitters work really well. And then just a touch of brandy. So you'd use about a third of a shot and top that with champagne. So our Christmas version of that replaces the sugar cube with some caramel. and butterscotch, and
out of a squeezy bottle. Or?
Well, you can just get some caramel liqueur. That would be great.
Caramel liqueur.
Yes.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't make that clear. So caramel liqueur, butterscotch schnapps. That works really well. Right. So this is a boozy cocktail.
Great.
And some brandy. So you'd only use a third of each, about 2 teaspoons of each, about 10 mil. Which gives you a 30 milliliter sort of base for your sparkling wine, if you like, and then top with sparkling wine. So that's the Christmassy, boozy version of the champagne cocktail, as it's called. There's a Boulevardier, which is nice. It's based on the gin Negroni, but it uses...
I've heard about this one.
Yeah, it uses whiskey instead. So if you want to twist that up for Christmas and use some Christmassy flavours, one of our staff came up with the idea that we could use some homemade Christmas vermouth. So off he went and made some Christmas vermouth. With some added sort of mulled sort of spices and things. So that was quite a nice vermouth. Had a kick. It was Christmas in a glass all on its own. But pairing that with some Jägermeister and some Scotch whiskey, and we got to a Boulevardier Christmas style in the end, and the bartender in question called it Elf Falling Off a Shelf. What else would you call it?
I love the cocktail names. They're fab.
And then we like to make a nice milky and vodka and chocolate cocktail at the bar at Hidden Rooms, and most people do have a sort of vodka, chocolate and milk or cream combination on their menu. Ours is called a Cocoa Crisis, and that's become a classic over the sort of 10 years that we've been there. So we even twisted that up into Christmas Crisis, using 20 mil of vodka, 30 millilitres of white chocolate liqueur, 100 mil of half and half. So this could stay on your hips well into January.
That's why I avoid these ones. But anyway, go on.
And then 20 millilitres of vanilla and cranberry syrup, garnished with whipped cream and some sprinkles.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it looks like a Christmas present. So we call that one the Christmas Crisis. But yeah, twisting up your classics is pretty easy, really, if you just think that usually in a cocktail you have a sugary sort of sweet note going on there, and it's usually just made from cane syrup or sugar, and find something a little bit more interesting like your caramels or like your butterscotches to twist up the sugar content, and you're almost there.
Chris Fernandez, do you enjoy cocktails by any chance?
I enjoyed the movie. I did. And when you think about it, you know, movies can really do a lot for a cocktail, like The White Russian and Big Lebowski.
Yes.
Martini shaken, not stirred, perhaps.
Sex and the City, you know. So, yeah. But the problem with, I think, the whole cocktail thing, and as if you're having a party, is that what do you focus on, the cocktails or the food? So something's going to get short shrift is the way I see it.
It depends on the food.
You need more helpers.
I think so. More elves in the house.
And then you need to assign tasks to people.
I need to get better at the delegating business. So,
I think if you know, you could get in touch with us and we could sell you out at your service. So we could send a bartender along and you could concentrate on the food, and there's your solution.
Right.
You think this is the New Year's Eve solution?
Yeah.
Now the ideas are coming.
Yes, of course. Dear. I know. I'm seeing it. It's happening, even as we speak.
I think it very possibly is. What's happening after 9?
Well, we're going to be... Of course, you have met the cast of Cambridge Junction's Christmas show, Snow White.
I did. The Snow White and the Approximately Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. And so we're going to tuck into that and also hear from the author of a new book about King's College, Nine Lessons and Carols.
Which is 100 years, I think, or something, something along those lines.
Yeah, iconic stuff. And also the latest in entertainment.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
We'll see you after 9 for 105 today. Right. And thank you as well very much for coming in too, Marcus.
You're welcome.
Make some notes.
Thank you so much.
If you missed any of that stuff, we'll pop that online a little later on you can keep up to date with that.
I'll leave the recipes here for you.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, also useful. Yes, we could...
Taking those home with me.
I think I'm thinking New Year's Eve could summer might still just be suitable for all of that. For me, Julian Clover.
And for me, Lucy Milazzo.
Top of the morning. Good morning.
We're back on Monday at 7.
Cocktails.
Yes. Cocktails for 2, or maybe 3 or 4.